You're listening to SBS News.
Like most young Australians, 20-year-old Li Han Zhang felt the sting of loneliness during Sydney's prolonged lockdowns. Cooped up with an unfamiliar housemate and a long way from friends and family in Canberra, Li Han says they felt socially disconnected and isolated.
We weren't close friends and they were on a completely different schedule to me. They would get up at 8 p.m. and then go to sleep at 7 a.m. where I would be up during the day. So it was very much me being alone the whole time. And it was very isolating and very different, I guess, being used to going to uni, seeing people and socialising.
Li Han's parents migrated to Australia from China when Li Han was 1 year old. For Li Han, growing up with mental health conditions had unique challenges. Cultural differences between Li Han and their parents meant a struggle with explaining feelings clearly.
Later on, when I went through like anxiety, to them, like mental health wasn't a real thing, or how they'd grown up, like mental health just wasn't talked about. They didn't have a good understanding of it.
The Australian Human Rights Commission recently released results from a national online survey, which found 1 in 5 young Australians between 9 and 17 reported feeling more down, scared, or worried than they did before the pandemic hit. Dr. Gemma Sikori, clinical psychologist and senior research associate at the Black Dog Institute, says declining mental health rates in children is the biggest cause for concern.
Although rates of mental health conditions are similar across children and adolescents, prior to the pandemic, children typically report lower levels of things like depression and inattention difficulties compared to adolescents. But during the pandemic, they were experiencing similar levels of depression, which was a really concerning finding.
For Australia's many culturally diverse children and adolescents, lockdowns presented unique social isolation issues. Victorian Multicultural Commissioner Dr. Mohamed Mohideen worked at the forefront of the Victorian government's COVID-19 response for multicultural and multi-faith communities. He says lockdowns in particular had unique impacts on multicultural and multi-faith communities.
I think that was a sense of loneliness, sense of isolation and lack of community networking and community engagement. All communities are very much a touchy feeling, close proximity, close community networks, and not being able to reach out to each other during times of distress or times of hardship was one of the biggest problems.
Ruth Das is a project lead at the Embrace Multicultural Mental Health Project. She says lockdowns disproportionately affected young people because they missed out on the key interactions that form part of their normal emotional and social development.
We do know that the effects of lockdown and the loss of school community, loss of contact with friends and social networks, the loss of opportunity to play and interact with peers, being isolated at home and often having to do homeschooling, particularly for children whose parents have English as their second or third language, and we know that children became more isolated and alienated from their peers through having to stay at home.
Dr. Mohideen also says in many communities, especially in newer migrant communities, the concept of mental health is complicated.
Mental health is like a taboo topic as well at homes. No one discusses that. People come from various countries where they've gone through trauma, even in refugee camps, through violence and all that. And they all dealt with issues on their own, and they wouldn't even identify some of these issues as mental health problems.
For Li Han, their key supports during Sydney's lockdown were newly learned coping mechanisms to combat feelings of isolation and loneliness.
Reaching out to like support through psychologists and through Headspace. I've learned a lot of skills which I was able to practice through lockdown, such as sticking to a schedule to help me get through the day, and also making sure to have regular social check-ins and also check-in with friends and family to make sure that they're okay.
Ms. Das says for all children and parents, early intervention is the best way to support someone with a mental health condition.
It's okay to ask for help. And it's also good to recognise that it's good to link into support as early as possible. We know that when issues are identified early and people get the right treatment and the right support, it can prevent things from getting worse, and it can help parents and children to address what the issues are and get that support and get them on the road to recovery as soon as possible.
For Lehan, learning self-support was crucial.
You should trust your gut and reach out, even if those who may be very close to you don't necessarily support you. There are people and organisations like Headspace out there who are there to help you and to listen to you. And I think it's important to not externalise the stigma that you may see perhaps coming from your community. It's important to trust in yourself and to have the confidence to advocate for yourself.
Listeners seeking mental health support or information can also contact Lifeline on 13 11 14 or Beyond Blue on 1300 224636. Rebecca Kazmierczyk for SBS News.